He took the pan off the fire and let the bacon cool, and they ate it, slowly, thoughtfully. "Now, let's get on upstream," said Granger. "And hold on to one thought. You're not important. You're not anything. Someday the load we're carrying with us may help someone. But even when we had the books on hand, a long time ago, we didn't use what we got out of them. We went right on insulting the dead. We went right on spitting in the graves of all the poor ones who died before us. We're going to meet a lot of lonely people in the next week and the next month and the next year. And when they ask us what we're doing, you can say, we're remembering. That's where we'll win out in the long run. And someday we'll remember so much that we'll build the biggest goddamn steam shovel in history and dig the biggest grave of all time and shove war in and cover it up. Come on now. We're going to go build a mirror factory first and put out nothing but mirrors for the next year and take a long look in them." They finished eating and put out the fire. The day was brightening all about them, as if a pink lamp had been given more wick. In the trees, the birds that had flown away quickly now came back and settled down. Montag began walking, and after a moment found that the others had fallen in behind him, going north. He was surprised, and moved aside to let Granger pass, but Granger looked at him and nodded him on. Montag went ahead. He looked at the river and the sky and the rusting track going back down to where the farms lay, where the barns stood full of hay, where a lot of people had walked by in the night on their way from the city. Later, in a month or 6 months, and certainly not more than a year, he would walk along here again, alone, and keep right on going until he caught up with the people. But now, there was a long morning's walk until noon, and if the men were silent, it was because there was everything to think about and much to remember. Perhaps later in the morning, when the sun was up and had warmed them, they would begin to talk or just say the things they remembered to be sure they were there, to be absolutely certain that things were safe in them. Montag felt the slow stir of words, the slow simmer. And when it came his turn, what could he say? What could he offer on a day like this to make the trip a little easier? "To everything, there is a season. Yes. A time to break down, and a time to build up. Yes. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Yes. All that. But what else? What else? Something. Something. And on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Yes, thought Montag, that's the one I'll save for noon. For noon, when we reach the city.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Fahrenheit 451, written by Ray Bradbury, performed by Tim Robbins. Executive producers Lee Jarrett and Mike Charzik. Producer Mike Charzik. Directed by Bruce Katovich. Music by Michael Whalen. Copyright 1951, 1953, 1967 by Ray Bradbury. Copyright renewed 1979, 1981, 1995 by Ray Bradbury. Production copyright 2014 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
This audiobook production was distributed by Brilliance Audio. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brilliancedaudio.com. And please visit Audible at www.audible.com to discover over 150,000 titles available for download. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan 49417.